Welcome to a very special Rush Hour with MG podcast. Mr. Guy, this is why people need to subscribe to our catch-up podcast.
This is the very reason they should subscribe to our podcast, because they get little gems like this.
Absolutely. It's Friday. We don't have a show on today because of Friday night football from 6 o'clock. But what we are giving you today instead is a racing-dedicated podcast, MG. You love the races? You love a punt?
I love a punt. I bet with my head not over it.
Exactly right, as everybody listening to this should do. This weekend at Royal Randwick, it is the culmination of one of the greatest racing careers that you and I will ever come across, MG. The great mare Winx is shooting for 33 in a row in her final race.
That's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. She hasn't just captured the racing world, but of, you know, young kids like my kids who are, you know, between 11 and 24, all of a sudden got an interest in racing. And my 11-year-old just can't wait to watch this race on Saturday.
My not yet 3-year-old loves cheering on Winxy, as she calls her.
Go Winxy.
Go Winxy. My wife is flying her dad down from Queensland to come and see Winx's. It is truly, when she's gone, I think we'll appreciate even more just how incredible she was. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the whole card. We're going to get some expert tips. But there's a bigger conversation that needs to be had first up, and it's the reason we bring in this man, friend of the show from Sky Racing, racing expert Ben Way. G'day, Ben.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this, although I'm starting to feel the pressure with expert being thrown around rather loosely.
Oh, please. Please. You're an expert. Look at you.
He's got the suit on. He's got the tie.
He's suited and booted.
Very debonair.
He's ready to go. Now, we are going to work our way through some of, because it's not just Winx running tomorrow at Randwick. There are some fantastic races.
It'd be a very average race if it was just it.
But there are some other fantastic horse races going on. You're going to walk us through those races a bit later on. But up first, Winx. Just independently, before we start comparing her to some of the other great horse races, which is an exercise we're going to do very shortly, can you summarise this horse?
Yes, not in a short space of time, but adaptability is probably the word that springs to mind. Obviously brilliant and unbeatable, but adaptability when it comes to distance range, adaptability when it comes to tempo of a race. We see her settle towards the back of a field now, whereas she used to be able to settle a lot closer. That's purely because they want to keep her out of trouble. She runs 3-4 wide, no traffic. Hugh Bowman, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from his achievements, but there are times I wonder whether I could do it and she could carry the 84 plus. But honestly, she's a remarkable athlete, and we're all privileged to have been able to see her.
Growing up, we always heard about this horse called Farlap, and movies made after her, Benny, about how and people being compared to the heart of Farlap, the myth, the legends. It's like Don Bradman, I suppose, before our time. We're actually witnessing right now, and our kids are witnessing something that we'll probably never, ever see again.
Absolutely. And there are records that do stand the test of time. I know in regards to Farlap you speak of, Farlap raced and won on every day of the Spring Carnival. So he raced on Derby Day, Cup Day, Oaks Day, and what is now Stakes Day, and won every single one of those. Now, we're about to discuss records that may or may not be broken. That is one that I can categorically say, with the way training developments have happened, that will never, ever be beaten.
Now, as we said, we're gonna work through the card tomorrow. It is a fantastic day of racing at Royal Randwick, but we wanted to take the three horses with the most remarkable achievements from recent history and compare them to decide which feat, I guess, is more difficult or which of the three is the greatest horse. Now, Winx, we know, shooting for 33 in a row. Mackayvey Diva, those three Melbourne Cup victories. And then Black Caviar is the other one, the greatest sprinter. Those are the three horses we're going to look at. Where are we going to start?
All right. Well, I might start by having a crack at our listeners. And this is a little bit of an odd place to start, but just to the haters out there, in case you're thinking this might be you, and it may be either of you two, so this might be a really bad start. But long story short, there are a lot of people, naysayers, for want of a better phrase in horse racing, that reference the fact that you shouldn't compare the best to the best, just enjoy them for what they are. Well, I've got news for you. If you can't compare the best to the rest, what's the point?
Exactly.
Great.
And in sport, we talk about previews, we analyse, we say this team's better than this team. Well, what's the point if they're eventually going to play and we'll find out anyway? The point is, it's fun. So anyway, that's why we're doing it. So correct. If you're hating on it, Don't listen.
Yeah, if you're hating on this, fast forward to the end where Ben gives his tips for the weekend.
Exactly, yeah. Profit off me after you've ignored everything that I've said. I shouldn't actually promise a profit.
No.
There is a Ben Way voodoo doll if you are a naysayer, so get ready for it.
Yeah, fair enough too. I mean, I don't want this to detract from the particular achievements of the horses that we're about to mention. They're all remarkable achievements, and it's also not a reflection of the horses themselves. They're all very different. We have one sprinter in Black Caviar, a middle distance runner when it comes to Wenks, and then a stayer in regards to Maccabi Diva, albeit they overlap somewhat. So I realise and appreciate that they're all champions, and I would be hesitant to put one above the other. But when it comes to the varying achievements, maybe we can start with Maccabi Diva. So we've got a three-time Melbourne Cup winner. It's a handicap race, so unlike a Cox Plate, if you were the superior horse in your age group, you continue to carry the same weight against your age-relevant opposition in a Cox Plate. Whereas in a handicap, they do try to slowly handicap you out of it. So she had 51.5, then 55.5, and then 58 kilos over the three.
Wow.
So she's had to carry 7 extra kilos to win her final Melbourne Cup. So in terms of will I ever see this again? 3 Melbourne Cups in a row, we've had the internationalisation of the race. The likes of Vinnie Rowe, Jardine's Lookout, Distinction Eyepopper, she was up against them, but largely it wasn't the international race that we're now seeing. So that makes it tougher to do again. When it comes to the internationals, a horse like the horse that we saw win the Melbourne Cup last year in Cross Counter probably won't come back to Australia 3 times. So suddenly we're talking about it having to be a New Zealand or even Australian bred horse, or at least at bare minimum trained here over the course of a 3-year period. Are we going to have a horse of the caliber that can beat the Europeans 3 times in succession? Maybe, but very unlikely. And again, I don't want to get too deep into it, but our breeding and racing ranks are based around sprints. All of our races are sprints, bar the big ones. We would have to change that mentality completely to be able to compete with them. Maybe, MG, I can get your thoughts on Maccabi. I mean, reflection-wise, because it is the great race, do I have to give that extra points?
Look, I suppose you have to, Benny. My first memories of racing was a horse called Think Big back in the 70s winning the Melbourne Cup.
I thought it would have been Archer in the 1850s. How old are you?
I'm 48. No, I'm 51. And so I think Big would have been around, I would have been maybe seven or eight years of age when I watched my first Melbourne Cup. And I think the Melbourne Cup obviously holds a lot more luster for our listeners, for us. And the fact that you've just mentioned how the great mare was, Maccabi Diva was handicapped, that gives a big points.
You know, we talk so much about, well, this horse won because they went slowly. It wasn't tempo related. You know, maybe it was a bog track. Maybe.
Was Maccabi Diva, she was.
She had to overcome all of that.
Yeah.
We had one on the wet.
Yeah.
Yep.
In fact, we had one on the wet, and we had one where they just left the sprinklers on to be kind to her. But I think she was better with Sting out of the track. But but she managed to overcome. She managed to overcome all that adversity. If we can, just for the purpose of pushing on, we'll roll into Black Caviar, which, so the record there is 25 straight wins. Now with Black Caviar, you have another condition here, which is a sprinter. Now, you might remember a few years ago, Wenks actually missed the start in a race.
Yeah.
And she maybe
by
missed
seven
it by 3.
Or 8 lengths.
Nah, not that many. But this is the problem. You're the problem. When we when we go back through the history books.
You know what? In 20 years' time, that'll be 50 lengths.
Exactly.
Well, she only had 3 legs in that race. I remember. It was remarkable.
She missed it by 3 or 4.
She had an 8-year-old kid riding her, remember?
Yeah. Oh, we better not tell Kiwi that.
No, same height.
Yeah, so she's managed to beat Fox Play just, right? Mm. A miraculous victory, arguably one of her best victories because of the adversity that she faced, unlike some of the other processions that we see. But with Black Caviar, she doesn't get that luxury. She's racing over 1,000, 1,100, 1,200. You miss the start by 2 or 3.
It's over.
Not only that, she did go overseas. She went to Royal Ascot. Mm. She beat them there. She went across all
wasn't
states.
That was a heart starter, that
one at Ascot. Yeah, Lukey Nolan's still, he's still breathing a sigh of relief for that one. So that's I think that adds a whole different element to this. But if we're just looking at the crux of the 25 starts unbeaten, we may well see that again. It's not a world record. There was actually a horse called Kinksman Which retired undefeated in the 1870s, having won 54 straight. Now, it's a remarkable achievement. I forget where that was. I think it was in Hungary. But long story short, we will see it potentially again. The human equivalent is probably Usain Bolt. And I think when you humanise these things, it really puts the feat into perspective. Mm. So we've seen Usain Bolt lose races at the World Championships doing a hamstring. Well, Black Caviar tore a chest muscle jumping out of the gates at start four and still won.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. So, and they were against some good horses, the likes of Wanted. You know, she's winning group, it was a group two, I believe. At start four, torn chest muscle, then has a few months out, which was an absolute blessing because I backed another horse in a feature, which ultimately took it out. But she's done everything, 25 unbeaten. I think we will see that. We've seen runs of that before, but they're generally in pretty crappy races elsewhere. You can put together 10 before you head to town, add another few. I mean, we'll probably see it, but I just don't think we'll see it over sprint trips, including 15 group ones, including a trip over to the UK, including adversity with injuries. It's all those things that contribute to the story.
MG, I don't know what your take is, but and I, you know, everyone knows the Winx colours, the blue with the white M. And
yep.
I reckon Black Caviar.
Which means what, the M?
So it's Magic Syndications. Everybody thinks it's an upside down W.
there you go.
It's funny, actually. It's pretty much less than, if you're trying to work out whether somebody's a real racing person, it's a great marker. When they say, why is the W upside down? You go, you're not one.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Can I tell you a story about my father-in-law who's coming down for this race tomorrow? He lives in an over 50s retirement village up in Tweed Heads, and they had a fancy dress party, and I can't remember for the life of me what the theme was, but he decided, oh, well, I'll go themed as Winx. Can you grab us a Winx shirt? Now, the Winx shirt, for the most part, is essentially what Hugh Bowman rides in. Mm. It's a blue T-shirt with a white M on the front. Mm. He's turned up there. Everyone's asked him, why are you dressed as the blue M&M?
Oh, dear.
None of them had heard of Winx.
Can I ask a question which might be poor form? Is he rotund?
He's shed some kgs. Look,
right. Oh, that's a diplomatic way of answering.
No. 12 months ago, he would have looked exactly like the blue M&M. But nowadays, you know, put it this way, Ben, if you got that packet of M&Ms, you'd be disappointed.
Now he's on his power walking and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, exactly right.
I think you need the skull cap and maybe a whip just to tip them over the edge. You know why Black Caviar's colours were so...
Well, that's Sorry, tell us.
The salmon with the black caviar. So pink with the black dots.
Oh, okay. There's another good little... Well, that's really? The point I was trying to make when we got onto these silk colours was that I think black caviar gets the nod over the other two in terms of iconic colours.
I don't know. Remember Tony Santic, the tuna fisherman?
Mm. Yes.
And he had the famous mask.
The check and... Yeah.
So I don't know.
And that was a good way he got his name as well, with all the girls in the office. He put all their name, the first name of their names and made up...
He did. Their initials made up the Maccabi.
I think you can give Maccabi Diva the nod from a naming perspective. I think Maccabi Diva gets the nod from a naming perspective.
I think as a brand, Winx is the best name. I just think it's so wow.
We were actually discussing at work today when a horse, I think there was a greyhound, let's say Daytona Greyhounds, was going around this morning, and there was one at $1.08, and I said, oh, well, this one's going around at Winx odds. And the fellow said, how long do you reckon we're going to continue to say, oh, going around at Winx odds for that sort of price? And I said, well, there's the disappointment because I used to say black caviar odds.
Wow.
And I've already transitioned.
But I've never seen, outside of Melbourne Cup, I've never seen the last 2 days of the Daily Telegraph have 8 or 12 pages dedicated to a race here in Sydney.
Mm.
It's captured everyone's imagination.
Before we move on, because I'm enjoying this dissection of the different aspects of the horses, and we are going to get to Winx in a moment.
The in-depth analysis, such as which one has the best silks.
Well, this is how some people bet. All right, I've given Maccabi Diva the nod from a naming perspective, and Black Caviar the nod from a silks perspective. Which jockey had the toughest job out of the three? Glenn Boss on Maccabi Diva, Luke Nolan on Black Caviar, and Hugh Bowman currently on Winx.
Well, there is. I've got a slight disclaimer there because Glenn Boss only had to do it three times. Luke Nolan had 25 and Huey Bowman's had 33. So from a work perspective, I mean, if I'm on an hourly rate, I'd prefer Hugh Bowman.
Sure, but you've also suggested that you could do Hugh Bowman's job aboard Winx.
That was off air, mate. You said that off air.
I said I don't want to say it.
You said that off air, brother. Come on.
No, trust me, I do not believe that.
No, we're not seriously disrespecting the jockeys like that. It is a dangerous job.
You mean you can paint a mural?
The mural I probably could have done.
Now you're slighting artists.
That's fine. I don't have much to do with them anyway. I work with jockeys every day.
But seriously, which jockey has had the toughest gig? If we're examining their achievements, 3 Melbourne Cups, 25 straight, and Winx going for 33, which jockey has the hardest job in those races?
Depends if you only think that their job is restricted to the race. I mean, Hugh Bowman's work that he's had to do from a media perspective and dealing with the stress and the pressure, I mean, he has undoubtedly had the tougher job because purely longevity. It's been such a long ride. Bearing in mind he hasn't always ridden Winx. Some of her most miraculous victories had other guys on board. Larry Cassidy springs to mind. J-Mac, he was told to count to 10, accidentally counted to 20 and nearly lost one. But in fairness, I have said that to his face. No. But from a race
perspective.
From a race perspective, it's clearly Glenn Boss because it was a navigational path. It's such high pressure. Every horse is built to their grand final. The others had some, you know, lead-up races along the way, some weaker opposition. These were 3 grand finals. He had to bring the A game, and they were 3 absolute peaches.
All right.
Peaches. Yeah, and I'm not a Boss man.
I can't disagree with that. That's, you know, when you said navigation, that's straight away you think about, you know, the 1600 metre mark in the middle of a Melbourne Cup and you go, well, man, how am I going to get out of this? And somehow he did 3 times in a row. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you're right. Black Caviar's the push button horse, isn't she? She's gates open, press on.
Yeah.
Hit the line, press off.
That's what the coaches used to do to MG before games.
Yes.
Yeah, just wind him up. Yeah,
like a little Duracell battery.
Yeah,
crossed like the bunny. Okay,
needed a bit of string just to tie those forearms down for the first half.
Actually, they could have put a little man on MG's back in some of his games just to steer him around.
I think it would have been very helpful.
All right, let's talk about Winx, the great man.
Well, Winx, yeah. 33 straight is what we're looking at.
Will she win?
Oh, yeah, she'll win. She'll win. Don't worry about that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she'll be winning. She'll be winning. And so there was I mentioned the fact that Black Caviar doesn't hold the world record when it comes to unbeaten from go to woe. 25 unbeaten, retires. So the same goes for Winx. So she's not the world record holder when it comes to straight wins. She's on 33, but a horse in Puerto Rico called Camarero actually won 73 of his 75 career starts, including a span in the 50s where he won 56 in a row.
So, now, objection, because is he racing donkeys? Like, we don't.
You don't know anything about the racing standard in Puerto Rico,
do you? Right, I don't.
And how dare you slight the great game of horse racing in that wonderful part of the world?
The fact that I haven't heard
that objection is overruled. That is overruled, that objection.
But the fact that I haven't heard anything about the great industry of horse racing in Puerto Rico lends me to think it's probably not of the standard of the Winx is running in.
You just have to beat your opposition.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Now, as you and I both know from our amateur football games, we beat a lot of average teams and we celebrated them just the same as everybody else.
A win is a win. That's a fair point.
So what I'm saying there is it's not beyond comprehension to think that a horse could get on a roll and potentially win 33 if she wins on Saturday, 33 in a row. One thing I will say that will never happen again, and what am I, 30, am I 35 or 36?
I think you're 36.
37, yeah. Buddy, just tell us.
30, yeah. I'm halfway. Yeah. I don't really like the Abby would be mortified with that.
You're not eating healthy?
No, terribly. I'll be lucky to pass 50.
We're going to have to edit that bit out.
Yeah, but sorry. No, but one thing I think with this record, let me just stop. What we won't see is a horse that wins 25 straight Group Ones.
There you go.
33 straight wins, yes.
Yep.
But she's won 25 Group Ones.
That's the one.
In that.
Wow.
Now, to put it in perspective, a horse like Sandra Anna Lane, which is one of my, I love Sandra
Anna
Lane.
How good.
One on the weekend in the TJ. That was career win number 5 at Group One level.
Mm. Yeah.
Five Group Ones. Mm. And that's an amazing achievement. I'm not trying to take anything away from Santa. I wouldn't want to be the Grinch. But
I've been, on every one of them too.
Have you?
Yes.
So we've got a streak that I think won't get beaten there. We discussed the various records. I would say in terms of what was offered up to us in this discussion, three Melbourne Cups will be the one I won't see again. Mm-hmm. 25 from go to woe I may see. 33 in a row at any point in the career. I think I probably will at some stage. I hope I do. Mm. But we will never see 25 Group 1s in succession ever again.
Ever again.
And only Australian horses could really do that because we have a large proportion of the Group 1s around the world. So it would have to be an Aussie that does it. I just cannot envisage a time where that would happen. In order of difficulty, Maccabi Diva, most difficult.
Yep.
Winks is 33 second. Black Caviar is 25 third. Not wanting to rank them. They're all superstars.
That's what you just did. That's what I heard.
But that's how I would do it. But in terms of one that I am categorical I'll never see, Winks is 25. Assuming, of course, she wins her 25th on Saturday.
Ooh.
I don't want to jump the gun.
Sure, well, you've said it pretty definitively.
What about the more interesting...
Are you saying that wasn't interesting?
No, I found that very interesting.
No, that was fantastic. I'm thinking more about Bachelorette now. Who gets the chance to go little, you know, one-on-one with Winksy
Nick Cummins is undefeated, isn't he?
Oh, and the Bachelor.
MG was talking about procreating, Ben.
That's what...
And let's not put Nick Cummins in there.
I've never used that word procreating, but I've used some other words.
Okay.
So
a honey badger and Winks. That's quite the image.
A winger for the Brumbies up the sideline. So obviously it's a payday for whoever gets the right to be the super stud that first gets his hooves on Winks. Who's it going to be out of Schnitzel, I Am Invincible, Lonro, Frankel or Deep Impact?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we've seen a lot of the Frankels have... I assume you're asking me from the perspective of who I would send her to.
Exactly, not from experience.
Probably I Am Invincible. Well, I'm not an owner. I mean, it's up to them. But, I mean, Frankel's obviously been a star at start, as he was on the track, and unbeaten. He's another one that we probably should have touched on throughout the journey, but it's easier just to focus on Australia. But... yeah, I mean, Frankel looks a remarkably good fit when it comes to distance range, the versatility. Obviously, they were both superstars. But I just want to preempt everything I say on that front by saying, a lot of the time, the superstar mares struggle.
Yes.
When it comes to the breeding barn, Maccabi Diva certainly has. Black Caviar, much the same. It's quite often that they're overpriced, as you would expect, and it's quite often that they do struggle. I really hope that's not the case. I'd love to see her progeny thriving. And Maccabi Diva has thrown a couple of good ones. She's got one called Surrey running around in New Zealand, which has plenty of ability. But, yeah, just historically, I'm not sure what it is, whether the racing knocks it out of them or what, but, yeah, they've struggled at the breeding barn.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into that's
let's get make some money.
That is good context for anybody who follows racing on a surface level like we do, NG.
I love that, Benny. That was fantastic.
To understand the achievements of those three horses that we've seen in our lifetime and the likelihood of seeing them again, That is real good stuff. All right, let's get into...
We didn't even speak about Kingston Town. My goodness.
No. For those people...
That was more your era.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I was alive when Kingston Town ran, so...
Trust me, it was.
All right, let's get into the weekend. For those people that fast-forwarded through that discussion, that's disgraceful. You should have listened to it, but here we go. We're going to break down the weekend's racing. Where are we starting, Ben?
Well, I think we might as well start with the Queen Elizabeth. Are you happy with that, MG?
I'm happy with it. Whatever you want to do, brother. I wouldn't mind you going through each race at... Greenwick on Saturday.
Off air with MG.
I don't know if we have that long. But
what about we start at race three?
Okay. Well, race number three is the Provincial Championships final, and I'm happy to start there. I know that you have somewhat of an interest in a couple in this one. I think it's fair to say Kim War has the heavy hand in it. So she's got Spring Charlie, which is currently around $6. Blake Shin, quality big race rider, as we all know. But I reckon the one for her is Safado. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've seen racing at Rose Hill, just horrifically wet surface. Nothing they can do about that. They actually did a remarkable job to have racing to the standard that it was. And well done to the team out there. But we're back at Randwick. We're more than likely on a soft to good range, and we're going to see significant improvement out of a few of these. Safado just did not go a yard. I reckon out of this entire field, it's the one with the best turn of foot. Definitely has the X factor. And if we're talking $7... I don't know. I might just have to unleash fury.
I like you.
Beyond that, you actually do like the stable mate, though,
don't you? Spring Charlie, yeah. I like Spring Charlie.
All right, well, we're going to have to go against each
other. I might have a Cornella on them too.
Okay, why not?
All right, that's number three, MG, Spring Charlie. Number six, Safado from Burnway. That's in Randwick Race 3.
Maybe we could go head-to-head.
Okay.
I don't mind that.
Okay, let's do head-to-head.
Okay. I'll have winks in the Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, hold on. This is not bad then. If you're going Safado, MG's going Spring Charlie, and I'm going to be one of those people that bets on. I'm just going to pick based on name.
Yep, you go the Villamy, wouldn't you?
I'm going Mandylion, number 16.
Mandylion.
There we go.
You're going off name and can't even say it. That'll just about do me. It's a real wet tracker, and it's going to be on a good surface, but we'll see.
All right,
I'm happy. We've got Flanners there.
Let's go to Percy Sykes Stakes, race 4.
Okay, on to race number 4 we go, where we get to see the Golden Slipper winner in Kiyomichi potentially go around again. This is a quality field, I tell you. Godolphin have a heavy hand in it. Obviously, you see the likes of Flit and Pinsec in there. Etheria is a horse which I've regularly been told is arguably the best of the bunch, and yet we haven't quite seen it.
Yeah, I backed it last weekend.
So did I.
And it's still...
It was pretty savage.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, lost to the stablemate again.
Yes.
Anyway, so I reckon we reload with Etheria in that one. I'll happily take you guys on with Etheria, but that is a pretty good field, some quality youngsters in there.
Okay, you're going Etheria. I'm going to go Anaheed.
Okay, you're with the team Snowden.
Yep, with Timmy Clark.
Which name can you butcher here?
All right, I'll continue along my track of butchering names. No, Pinsec.
Pinsec.
Good name.
Okay.
Pinsec.
Okay, let's go.
Has that got any chance?
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
So, Benny, you're going Etheria, you say?
Etheria.
Yep, okay.
Ben's going Etheria, MG's going Anaheed, and I'm going Pinsec.
Okay. I just can't see how listeners are going to take anything productive out of this.
Well, no, listeners should be, people who are hearing this should be paying attention to what you're saying.
Definitely what you're saying.
having a bit of fun with what MG is saying and completely ignoring what I'm saying.
And guess who's going to win this whole thing?
Yeah, I know. It's sickening, isn't it?
That's Liam.
Yeah, spend 2 hours doing form and watch Liam pick a name out of a hat.
We're on to race 5. It's the Arrowfield 3-year-old sprint.
All right, so classic legend for me. Horse with a heap of ability, was a pretty tough watch. Last time ran second with Kieran McAvoy in the saddle, pretty much trapped 3 and 4 deep the entire. Jumped maybe 3/4 of a length in front. You're thinking to yourself, this is great. I'm going to find the fence. I'm going to cruise in front. Didn't quite get to the front. Ended up 3-4 deep on the turn and has been nutted in the final 10 metres. So I'll have classic legend. Heaps of upside and a good horse, I think.
Yeah, I'm tossing up between the one and the two, Zusane and Encryption. I'm going to go Zusane, top weight.
Jeez, it's been a money muncher for me lately.
I've got to go back to it.
My goodness gracious me. Oh, and the Coolmore looms up on the outside of Sunlight. They've gone a ferocious tempo. I think just go past, you pygmy.
It's there.
Take it.
MG's going Zusane. Ben's going classic legend. And the tip to ignore from me, Baller.
Okay.
Yeah. Good TV show. Probably a good horse.
Yeah, it is a good TV show.
Zara's on it. He's a good jockey.
And Baller is a very good horse, too.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Cummings Stable's going as well as they ever have.
That's why I picked it.
How's he going?
Yeah. I picked it. We're on to, now, is this the first group one of the day, the Heineken 3 Australian Oaks?
This is a fantastic race,
race
this
six.
One. Very Elegant is your $1.75 favourite. And I'm happy to hand this one up to either of you two.
I'll take it.
Okay, done.
I'll take it, yes.
Done. No, so Very Elegant is a horse that's always had some average-ish manners. So when it gets up to the staying trips, if you've been throwing your head around for 2,000, it gets pretty tough to run out the final 400 with much conviction. And that certainly proved her undoing when we saw the race over the course of the spring. Aristia managed to get the better of her on that occasion. That's probably the horse I'm leaning towards on this occasion. There's other good form. Though Frankly Awesome was a huge run last time out, skipped the Derby. They decided to take on Her Own Sex instead, which I think was probably the right decision. Beyond that point, Scarlet Dream is probably the horse at an each way price and would be my bet in the race. But if we're talking who I think will win, I'll shop with Aristia. Which way are you going, Liam?
Aristia. MG's going the favourite, Very Elegant. Is it Very Elegant or Very Elegant?
Well,
it's just double R.
You go off the name, it's
very elegant.
But long story short, just call it Very Elegant and tell us what you're backing.
All right.
thank you.
Aliferous, fun name.
Yes.
Fun
got
to
up
say.
At, got up at 50 to 1 on Saturday.
Yeah, I knew
so
that.
So you missed the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in at 19s or something thereabouts there. All right. Race number 7, the Longines Queen Elizabeth Stakes.
Are you happy, guys, if nobody gets Winx?
Winx out market.
Winx there out we go. Market.
So we're all going to make tips based on the fact that Winx probably wins and we ignore her.
Yep.
Okay. We're back in second.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with, I'm giving one away here because I reckon he's eminent, probably nuts me, the English horse. But I'll go with Kluger, which is a Japanese horse, ran fourth in the Doncaster, only a lip or so behind Hartnell, which is at a significantly shorter price. I think if you're getting $11 in the Winx out market, which it was at the time of record, more than happy with that. And I know it's a different race, different complexion, different speed, but had they have gone faster than you and I for the first 800 the other day, he probably would have won that, Donny.
I'm leaning towards Dance, Dance, Dance.
Oh, the Kiwi.
Good yes. name.
Yes. Mm.
I've lost on that horse as well.
Yeah.
There is only one selection for me to make. It is by far the best named horse currently going around, Happy Clapper.
Yes, and speaking of Winx out market, the two races prior to that, Happy Clapper actually ran second. Mm. So I think it's four or five times he's ridden. He's run second of the Great Mare. And imagine...
What about Hartnell? Hartnell as well.
Imagine the class of horse we would be talking about, or the calibre of horse we'd be talking about in regards to Happy Clapper if Winx didn't exist. And wow. even Hartnell, for that matter. I mean, he's a champion. I read a very funny quote, actually, from John O'Shea. He was being asked retrospectively, Hartnell up against Winx in the Cox Plate. Do you think that broke him? As it turns out, he's won a couple of group ones since. His answer was, well, she was that far in front, he probably didn't even see her. He probably thinks he did win the Cox Plate.
That's similar to the conversation, MG, we had around Australian Open time about Andy Murray.
Yeah.
If Andy Murray hadn't have crossed, if his career hadn't crossed over against Federer, Djokovic and Nadal,
yes.
you're talking about one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. But he's existed in this era. So for him to have, I think he's won 3 Grand Slams, mm-hmm. is remarkable.
Yeah, and to think that in a Grand Slam count, he's going to be right there alongside like a Stanislas Wawrinka, who he had his measure for a decade.
Yes.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But that's just how it plays out. Sorry, Stan.
And Goran Izavinovic.
Goran.
Goran, yes.
Right.
Didn't he break some Australian hearts?
Oh,
yes.
Wimbledon.
Oh, dear.
Poor Pat.
How did Pat not get anyway?
It's all right. He got that Bonds deal. He got that sweet Bonds money.
Have we seen a Legionnaire's hat since, Goran?
No,
we haven't.
I reckon you'd put your daughter in the odd Legionnaire.
Yeah. We still see him on the ball, kids, which is nice to see. Race 8, this is another group one, the Schweppes Sydney Cup, 3,200 metres, stays race, MG tipping with his gut, Ben tipping with his noggin, and I'm tipping because I'm an idiot.
I'm going purely on jockey here, Jamie Carr, who's one of my favourite jockeys at the moment on midterm.
Okay, she's a good jockey, isn't she?
Yeah,
coming
she is.
Up from South Australia, she's making a real go of it over there in Victoria. But it's great to see her in Sydney as well, and she's already had some success. Jeepers, I need to be careful with that. Here in New South Wales, if I'm going to lean the way of Yogi, this is one for you actually. Not only a good name, grin and bear it if it wins. It's in Lime Green. You cannot miss this horse. It essentially will flood from the back. I need a ferocious tempo up front, which I don't actually know that we're going to get, but it's probably the blowout horse.
All right, so MG, you're going with midterm.
Midterm,
Ben's
yes.
stolen my tip with Yogi, so I'm forced to look elsewhere. Oh, there's a great name in this, right? Big Duke.
No, the Big Duke,
you're
yes.
not a bad horse either.
Big Duke.
I have dollars on it too.
All right, there we go. We'll put all those tips up on our socials as well, so you can follow them. We'll probably won't need to put my tips up. You probably don't need to follow mine. But
what's our bet?
Oh, that's a good
one. The winner, the other two got to pay by lunch.
So the three of us will go out for lunch.
Yep. And
person.
Okay, we'll go a 3-2-1 basis. If your horse wins, you get 3 points. If it second.
You don't have affiliations with restaurants. You're not going to get away with this one for free.
Yeah, we're going to end up at the, the Pioneer.
You are, right?
We'll
you
go
are.
To Osso's in Penrith.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly where we'll end up. Right. All right. Winner has lunch bought by the other two. That's
how about right. we go there regardless?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Done.
All right. Ben Way from Sky Racing, thank you very much for giving us so much of your time. If you've stuck with us through this, we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope if you're not a betting person, we hope you've enjoyed the analysis of the three great horses, Winx, Maccabi Diva and Black Caviar, and their achievements. And if you are a betting person, do it responsibly, but probably listen to what Ben Way had
yes.
to say. MG's a second option and me a very, very distant third.
Comprehensive, Benny. Thanks for your time, brother.
No worries, guys. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much, and good luck to Winx on Saturday.
Hee hee.